We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Fellow lunatics, we're up after midnight. It is 12:06 a.m. on Wednesday, March 27th. You are joining me for the second part of our post-game show here live on YouTube. Those of you who are listening on this on the audio version, that's getting posted on Wednesday afternoon. If you missed Josh and I's recap show, please check your feeds and go back and listen to this. Those of you who are here on the live show, there is a link that was pinned to the chat. It says join. It is a StreamYard.com link. It is an easy thing that you can access via your phone, via your computer. If you want to show your video, great. If you don't, I completely understand. Would love for you to come talk basketball with me. I bring people up more or less in order that I see them, you know, click into the show. And then we will just kind of hang out till people are out of takes. All right, coming up first, we have Julio coming up here. So welcome to the show. How are you? No audio just yet. We'll give it a second. I can hear some static. That's okay. What we're going to do here. Hey, there we go. How's that?
One second.
This is how live radio works, is sometimes the audio doesn't work perfectly. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay, sorry. I was not expecting for you to get me to stage.
Sorry, I got to get better about leading people in. I get really excited whenever, because sometimes I got to talk to myself for like 5 to 7 minutes before somebody joins.
Yeah,
welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a fan of your show. You are very good at what you do. I'm from Brazil, by the way. I was actually expecting just to listen than anything else.
Can we talk for a second about your countryman, Marcelinho Huertas, who now leads, Liga ACB? He is the all-time assist leader for the Spanish ACB League as of 2 days ago. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I am
I am a huge, I have followed Brazilian national team basketball for close to 20 years because I went to high school. I went to high school with Marcelo. He played a year here in Dallas, weirdly. So I love Brazilian basketball because they put out some of the most unique players in NBA history.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I do not follow Brazilian basketball yet. I do not have the time.
Sure.
I started following NBA 2017 playoffs.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really new for me. And the reason why I'm a Mavs fan is because of that, because I started watching NBA in 2017, and then Luka was drafted. And Luka is just amazing. And I was like, fell in love with his game. And here in Brazil, most of people is either a Lakers fan, Boston fan, some of them Miami's.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I never met nobody that is like a Dallas fan.
Sure.
Just me.
Hey, that's okay. Well, we're glad to have you here. I'm really glad you joined the show. What'd you think of tonight's game?
Ooh, I was surprised. I was really nervous about the game. The Kings, they beat the crap off us the last two games, and I was like, okay, I really respect them, honestly. I think they are a playoff contender. I was like, okay, the first two quarters was really, really tight. And I was like, oh, is this going to be one of those games where the Mavs are like getting those small leads and then they just can't keep up, right?
Right.
And then the third quarter was like, looks like a G League game. I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, that, like, Kyrie was, you could tell he was frustrated that some things didn't go down for him in the first half. And he just came out ready to go. And the door was shut. That game was all but over with 6 minutes left in the third quarter. It was just a great... The Mavericks never do this. They never close third quarters. Third quarters are usually the time when I get the most mad as a Mavericks fan. Because it's like, God, why did they fall apart? Only for tonight, they really came through huge.
Yeah, I think the addition of Gafford and PJ Washington was... much better than I was expecting at the beginning. I understand why Kidd is putting Gafford on the starting lineup instead of DeLive.
Yep.
Gafford is more experienced, is more matured as a player. I do believe that DeLive is going to be a better player when all said and done. But it's this past, since the I don't know if I can say since the break, but since, I don't know, the last 10 days or so, Mavs defense came around. And this is a really, really good sign. We are closing to the playoffs. And if our defense is like that during the playoffs, and Luka on the playoff is God mode always, I think we have a chance.
I mean, more than a chance. I wouldn't want to play us. I would not want to play this team if I was any of the top teams above us, just because the Mavericks are capable of such frustrating lows, but they're also capable of just running a team off the floor like tonight.
Even Denver.
I think
I think Denver is the best team in the West by a significant margin.
Yeah,
and that's the team that scares me the most. But even Denver, I think they don't want to play us. Nobody wants to play us. You know, the team that I want to see, I would like to see us play is the Clippers.
Sure.
Just to get some revenge.
Well, so I'm a bit of a nerd, and I really like reading all sorts of different. I read all the time, and you know, there's a pretty classic kind of like Western like story structure, like the heroic journey, and you kind of got to go through stuff before you can elevate and become great. And yeah. I would argue that the Mavericks are on that upward trend. And just for a storybook type ending, I would really like to see them play the Clippers too. I'm also just scared to hell because. When Kawhi Leonard is good, he's just terrifying. He's a machine. So it's like, I'm both for it, but I also am a little like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Kawhi, when we played them 2 years in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we lost 2 years in a row, but
we are the only team they've actually beat
like well enough. The only time the Clippers have looked good is when they beat the Mavericks, is my takeaway.
Kawhi had to play his best basketball in his life.
Yep.
Because of Luka. Mm-hmm. That's how good Luka is.
That's so right.
I would like to have some revenge. But, you know, the other team that I also would like to see in the playoffs.
Sure.
I don't think we're going to see is the Suns. Because of that Booker-Luka beef.
Yep.
I mean, I respect Booker's game. He's an amazing player. I don't like his character. I don't like
He's a fun. It's fun to have somebody to root against.
Yeah. So I like this. How do you say that? I forgot. But I like this Mavs Suns rivalry.
Absolutely.
Yeah, rivalry that is building up. So the Suns is the other team that I would like to see, but I don't think we are going to see them.
No.
They're falling behind. Yeah.
Well, my friend, I really appreciate you starting off the show. I got 9 other people down there I got to get to before I go to bed. At least anybody else is welcome to join. Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else you'd like to say before I head on to the next folk or person on the show?
Nothing else. I'm really appreciated for you taking me in. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Glad to have you as a friend of the show. We'll talk soon. Have a good day.
You too, sir.
Okay, now we have to have on somebody, even though he has on a friggin' Los Angeles hat in a Mavericks podcast. Longtime friend of the show. I cajoled him into coming on only because he is out there on the mean streets of Twitter fighting the good fight. Jason Gallagher, how are you, my friend?
What's up? Dude, I produce a podcast with the Los Angeles-based basketball player now. This is what I've got to do.
I get it. Pandering is pandering. I pander. So, you know, it's part of it.
That's what you got to do. Speaking of, I do want to plug the podcast really quick because of something that you said with Josh earlier.
Okay.
About why teams are blitzing so much. There is a nice 5-minute discussion in which LeBron and JJ just wonder aloud why the hell teams are blitzing him so much. And then talk about how it's actually just a riddle, because if you did then decide not to blitz him the way that Atlanta did, he might just drop 73 points on you. And so the video that is publishing tomorrow is called Guarding Luka Doncic is a Riddle. I hope you guys check it out. That's it.
I like it. So what did you think of tonight's game?
It was freaking awesome. It's like it's the kind of game. I mean, you and I have watched so many of these Mavs games. It's the kind of game that shows that we're a different team. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Just sort of, it was clearly a grind for both, given that both teams are on a second night of a back-to-back and yada, yada. And to come out and just kick ass. Yeah, I don't know. You don't get that very much. We haven't gotten that very much. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks, different kinds of victories. And you know what I mean by that. Last night was another great example where it's like Luka doesn't look awesome. Like it just felt like a grinded out kind of game. And again, we're winning games that we should win. We're winning games that we shouldn't win. We're winning games that against tough opponents. We're winning games on the road. We're blowing we're getting different kinds of victories, and I like that a lot.
I certainly do. And you know, as a longtime fan of the Dallas Mavericks, personally ascribe to finishing in the right place, finishing playing well, finishing in a good frame of mind. Friend of the show, Seth Partnow, tells me I'm completely full of shit and that doesn't exist. But after watching the 2006-2007 Dallas Mavericks, I completely fucking disagree, because that team finished in a blarg state after going, you know, winning a bajillion games in the regular season, I think 67 wins, and then they lost in the first round. Like, I just think heading into the playoffs playing great basketball matters.
I think it matters for some teams, for sure. Like, I think, you know, doesn't matter for Denver, clearly.
No.
I think it doesn't matter if you've,
because they've been there something before.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
for teams that are on the up, it really, I subscribe to that. It's very, you know, it's yeah, it's almost like the hot hand theory, but for wins.
I like Jeremy in the chat identifies you. Is this the most favorite? Is Gallagher the most famous Mavs fan after Patrick Mahomes? We're going to go with yes.
No. Isn't Post Malone a Mavs fan?
I guess so.
That's fine.
Not a bad one. No. It's anyway. George Lopez. He's in the 2006 or in the 2011 finals, or it's 2006. I don't remember. He's in the, I have this great big print, and George Lopez is in the bottom right because he's in the front row of all those games.
There's a lot of like really obscure celebrities that were like Mavs fans for like a second. Like Jamie Foxx is a really good one. Like, what happened to that? I thought you were our guy, Jamie. You were at the parade. He was at the parade. And he didn't, and now all of a sudden he's not. Anyways, so that's how I feel. You know, I'm here as always to push the agenda that is not being pushed enough.
Sure.
And I am, you know, I work on a basketball show and I sit behind the camera and I listen to people talk and I listen to people talk about other players and I listen to people gloss over Luka. And I feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone sometimes. It really does feel like that because, and I keep making this point, because everyone, you know, ESPN is ESPN, but there's so many smart people, not just on my show, but all over NBA Twitter that have taken the time to find information that I literally, if you gave me $1 million, could not find myself. Mm-hmm. How do you know this type of metric when it comes to an individual's impact on both the offense and defensive end, and then also weighs in when they're on the, you know, whatever, like so much information. But then at the end of their sentence, they'll say, they're the two seed. And you're just like, wait, are we really just doing that?
Describe that as, it's like, you know, in high school, how you had to show your work on all your math problem. Like you had to like, write. It's showing your work and then getting the fucking answer wrong.
How do you do that? It really is. And so I think that well, I was trying to construct why Mavs fans are so frustrated with this sort of discourse around Luka is that it feels like people are doing everything they can to make an excuse for him to not be considered. And it's kind of weird because that's kind of the only, at least for me, that's the only thing I'm trying to push is he needs to be in that conversation, like embedded deep right inside people's core of this discussion about MVP. And the fact that he's not is actually like a slap in the face to NBA history.
It is.
People 50 years from now are going to look back and say, you guys were morons. Morons.
I think that's true. I mean,
yeah, it's true.
Every MVP race is different. And like, I personally think the Joel Embiid MVP last year is going to look fucking ridiculous, despite the fact that Joel Embiid actually closed the regular season in a significantly better way than Jokic did. The closing of what has gone on, and we still have 8 games to go. The whole season matters. It's not a 70 game award. It's an 82 game award. And sorry, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not finishing strong.
He's not finishing strong. And not only that, it begs the question of again, we've advanced so much as a society. I cannot believe that we can't look at these two teams throughout the entirety of the year and ask ourselves, why does Oklahoma City have 5 more games or 6 more games than Dallas?
It's all the health.
My literal child could explain why.
Yeah.
But for some reason people gloss over it. And I was sitting through a recording at one point, and my guy, one of my guys on there, he said something about the on-off numbers of blah blah blah, and then he had said something about the seeding, and he questioned Luka's impact on winning, and then he went on to say Luka's the Mavs have lost 4, it was something like 5 out of their last 9 games or something. It was when they went on that losing streak a few weeks ago, right?
Yes.
And I was like, that's a weird cutoff point to say that he's, you know, lost five out of their last nine, right? Mm-hmm. Is that not a weird cutoff point? Considering that they had won 11 out of their last 16.
It's searching for something
this is why people think there's an actual agenda, because
is an agenda. It's not people think. Like there is a fucking agenda.
There is, and that's why
Tim Bontemps, I would qualify him as an internet friend. He talks about this thing he calls it a narrative award. Well,
he's so full of shit.
Well, as a media member, you're driving
that narrative.
You're driving the agenda.
You are doing that. And I think that's the biggest cop out within media right now. Are these media people that sit there? I'm sorry to go full blown Ben Shapiro
now. That's fine.
But these media people talk about themselves like they are someone else,
right?
And they go, "Well, that's how voters vote." And it's like, aren't you the voter? Like, and he does these straw polls, and he's the one deeply impacting these polls. It's just outrageous, and it is all you have to do is say the Mavs were banged up. Sure. Luka's best player for almost a month was Dante Exum.
No, like,
are you
your
trying to
boss...
tell me that Jokic and Murray is the same as Doncic and Exum? Is that where we are?
Your former boss, Bill Simmons, can't fucking say out loud that Luka was playing without Kyrie for 25 games. Like, he cannot say it.
Nobody
it's like
can
complete...
say it, though.
He's like,
he's
well,
not alone.
Kyrie's missed some games. And
he's
it's
not
like, well,
alone.
Look the...
Wait, wait. I am happy to talk talk shit, sports shit.
No, but he's the one where it's like this stuff is available. Go look at the game log. There's a big chunk where Kyrie didn't play.
And there's a big chunk where, you know, a legitimate like lineups being played where if you swapped Luka for Shea, I can't even imagine. In fact, I can imagine because we've seen that scenario and we've seen how the Thunder finish when that scenario is in place.
Sure.
So just saying when you're like, and another, the last,
we sound like such grievance mongers right now.
I am a grievance monger. I'm saying it out loud, guys. You can say all you want. I'm saying it right now. The only thing I disagree with you about is the Embiid thing. And the big reason is I am for, and I feel this way about championships too. Usually if Dallas or Luka are not in the conversation, I like to cheer for things that feel like they've earned that. And I think Embiid over the course of 3 or 4 years has played well enough to earn himself an MVP at some fucking point. And that's exact. I think if not to say that that's the only thing to consider, but when you look at the players that are available, who have not won, it is Luka, then 10,000 feet of nothing, then the next best player.
Sure.
That's where we are right
now. I don't like the up in order thing. I mean, to me, let's just see how the rest of this regular season closes.
I'm a historian.
I hope it's a fun vote. That's what I'm hoping for.
It's going to be hell.
That's fine though. But if it's like some, you know, like 30-30, like three-way tie, like the scene in The Office, like that's fun for me. Like that's at least weird. This whole unanimous voting block stuff has to go. Well, all right. I've kept you babbling for too long because you are willing to fight this fight more than anyone else on the internet right now. And I really respect it because I am just not good enough at it. Despite me being just so surly all the time.
You're great.
Do you have any other passing thoughts before you head back to real life? Because I think you were on a quasi vacation coming back from this game.
I was. No other passing thoughts. This is a fun time, and I was reading some of Matt Moore's tweets, and I think that the Mavs schedule can be deceptively harder than we might think it could.
So many
be
trap done. Games. There's opportunities to let down. Yeah, for
a
sure.
A lot. So I am excited to watch some Mavs basketball down the stretch. And the good news about this team is I think even if they finish in the play-in, which hopefully they don't, but if they do,
sure.
I still think that they're good enough to, you know, play any of those top seeds. Even let, you know, Denver would be tough, but that would be an entertaining season or series.
Couldn't agree
to
more.
Be honest. Yeah. So
couldn't
that's
agree
it.
More.
That's it for me.
You're folks, the man, Jason.
Goodbye, Kirk.
All right. Talk soon. Jason runs multiple NBA podcasts. I'm not even going to bother trying to list them all.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So if you're waiting on joining the room here, there, I can only have 10 people in the waiting room at any one time. Now I'm punted Jason. Now we got 9. So if you want to try to join again, be my guest. We're going to try to bring up people. I'll try to be a little quicker with folks. I haven't talked to Jason in like 3 weeks. I see some names that I don't recognize, so I hope my regulars aren't bothered. I'm going to bring up Ken next, who's been waiting patiently. And then we're going to go with Jobo. Ken, how are we tonight? Great looking hat.
How's it going?
I'm having a great time.
Awesome. Yeah. Long time listener. I talked to you one time, probably like 3 years ago on the good old Spotify Live.
Gosh, I missed that.
I'm the Los Angeles Maverick fan. We talked a little bit about that. Been a fan for 20 years. Cool thing. I went to my first Dallas Maverick American Airlines Center game, and I was going for work a few weeks ago, and I had decide, Indiana Heat when we're on this losing streak on Tuesday or Indiana Pacers or Miami Heat. I'm glad I chose the Heat. That was the game where the first half I was shaky. I was like, man, we're playing like shit.
How's the get right game?
And then we went on that winning streak. So that was my first in American Airlines Center game, which was awesome to see the Dirk statue and all that fun stuff. But yeah, just wanted to come on here because I listen all the time and I don't get up here. But watching this team for like 20 years and just watching the NBA so much today felt like that the look in Kyrie's eyes and Luka and the whole team, like the chemistry part, you know, it definitely gave me the vibes of 2 years ago, but even like a little bit more like of a fuck, we're starting to really believe and play for each other. And it's just kind of cool to see, right?
Yes.
Because we've all been through hell the last couple of years, and just the defensive intensity, and having two big centers like Lively and Gafford, and how we're using our power forwards, like PJ to play Sabonis, and then having them as the back line of defense, it's just a breath of fresh air. I mean, I think if anything, I'm not the biggest Jason Kidd fan, but you have to kind of ask yourself. You know, we went through that losing stretch. We weren't playing good rotations. There was this meeting, right? And they did kind of corral around him. And yep. Luka and Kyrie love him. And everyone's kind of corralling around him. So, you know, as much as he's not, you know, the best X's and O's guy, got to give him some flowers because they're all, you know, playing for him. And Luka and Kyrie look focused. And I'm excited, man. I think I think definitely we have a shot. The only team I'm kind of scared about, obviously, is Denver.
Sure.
But other than that, I think we have a good chance if we're healthy. If Kyrie's playing like this, he looks motivated, man.
He really does. He looks good. He's playing such a sharp role. He seems to know when to go. Like my 40 years old, and I still remember when my high school basketball coach would yell at me. He used to scream from the sidelines, know when to go and know when to whoa, kind of thing. And Kyrie just knows when to really exert his will on games. It never ever feels forced. Whereas sometimes when like Tim Hardaway shoots, you just want to like chunk whatever you're having to drink at the television. But it's a great time to be a Mavs fan. So much of this, I mentioned this earlier in the show, but one of my friends was like, why are you so excited about this? I'm like, because we've like had some really garbage losses. Like, this is fun.
And especially the diehard people that literally watch, like I watch every game.
Yes.
You know, it's like a lot of our time, right?
And it really is. So, it really is. And it's fun. It's fun to have fun.
Yeah. These kind of, and thanks for everything that you and Josh do for, you know, I mean, the amount of hours that we spend listening to podcasts on the Mavs is kind of hilarious. But it's a huge part of my life, and thank you for making it entertaining. Because yeah, it's in my bloodline, and it's just good to see these guys going forward. And yeah, I think the wrinkles in the second half of how Luka and Kyrie played, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but like they're doing a lot more actions, and everything is just so much like the assist totals the last like few games. It's a lot of playing for each other and less Luka ball. It's everyone knows kind of what to do, and I think that has a lot to do with, you know, 45 minutes of a big center as well, always rolling. I think Maxi even talked about their defense, why it's better too, because they actually all kind of know, okay, we're playing this one type of defense instead of sometimes you have Lively, sometimes you have Maxi, some, you know what I mean? It's a little bit sporadic.
It's just the minutes, it's the familiarity with one another. Yeah
So things are looking good. I'm stoked. I won't keep you long. I know you have a lot of people up here, but thanks for letting me on, my man.
Absolutely, Ken. I hope you come back. It's probably weird watching a game at a normal game time for you, and instead of having to watch like one at 6 o'clock in the evening or something like that.
Yeah, you guys are crazy ones, staying up to like 1 or 2 in the morning. I'm good at like 10 o'clock. I'm going to sleep.
That's great, man. All right, have a good day. We'll talk soon.
Right. Bye, guys.
All right. Coming up next, I see a couple other folks that I haven't seen first, so I hope my regulars understand. We're going to go first to how you doing, Jobo? What's going on?
Hey, doing well. How about yourself?
I'm having a great time. Thanks for joining us tonight. What are you thinking?
Well, first, I just want to say shout out to you and Josh for doing these late night shows. I know it's late hours and largely thankless, but you know, for
it's fun.
Junkies,
it's fun.
We really appreciate it.
I really kind of you to say same for Ken before, you know, it's more thankful than you'd think, because you know, I lived, so we have Julio, who's there in the chat, who is in Brazil. I was a Mavs fan. I lived, you know, after I went to college in California, lived in Virginia. I didn't know any basketball fans. So it's like finding people that like the sport that I like is very important to me. Even here in Dallas, like I don't run across that many Mavs fans in real life. Just because it's such a Rangers town, and there's people have options, so it's really nice to it's fun for me. It is more thankful than you think. It's something I look forward to doing. It gives me energy to kind of push through the rest of the regular season. So I'm glad to be doing it as well. So what are you thinking tonight?
Cool, man. I just keep thinking back to that Derek Lively third quarter defensively. I think that was the best I've seen him on defense all season. And I thought there were some moments in the first half where, not that he was bad, but it was just like, I felt like I saw so evidently why Gafford maybe needs to be the guy in the starting role over Lively. Sure. Just a couple of things that are rookie things, you know, body control when guys are driving at him and he's leaning in or jumping at guys. But I mean, he was locked down in that third quarter. It was getting me fired up. And then I texted my buddy after the first quarter had started. PJ had hit a few threes. Derek Jones Jr. hit a couple threes, and I told him, you know, if this holds, we finally have the Mavs 3-point shooting regression game that we've been waiting on. And lo and behold, I think that was a recipe to just kick some Kings' ass.
It helped them hold the line in the first half. because the Kings are just so punchy. And I really thought the Kings were going to make a run. And then in the third quarter, obviously Kyrie's play just really helped blow the doors off. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that Luka didn't have to play the fourth quarter. Wonderful.
My favorite kind of Luka play, the weird like 2.5 man game that him and Gafford have, where like Luka will find him at the rim, and then because Luka will just also be at the rim.
Immediate pushback.
Right. Which like feels like a 3-second call waiting to happen, but yeah. It's like the refs never call it. It's like, oh, he's getting the ball right back. This is amazing.
Right back up. It was great. I don't think I have a whole lot other than that. It's amazing to see Derek Lively where he's at 19 years old. Yes. Can't wait to see what the future has for him. Shout out to Tim for hitting shots and to just keep chucking even when it's been a struggle. I think was it 6 assists for Tim tonight? Something amazing. Like that. I mean, he's making plays, finding ways. So I'm really just interested to see what this all looks like when Josh comes back, but enjoying the wins for now.
That's right. Well, thanks so much for joining. I hope you come back.
Yeah. Thanks, Kirk.
All right. Talk soon. All right. Coming up next, one more name face I'm less familiar with is Matt down there. Matt just joined, so I hope my regulars aren't too mad at me. But I want to encourage people to come back here on the show. Matt, how are you? What's going on?
How you doing, Kurt?
Having a great night. What are you thinking tonight?
I've never thought I would say this. Can we give Jason Kidd some credit? I mean, he's been coaching his butt off the last couple weeks. I kind of didn't see the Maxey thing, but after tonight, I know he didn't play that the best, but they just look so big with him in there.
It helps, yeah.
It just he's coaching his butt off right now. I know he's going to get us annoyed, and I mean – I don't know. I just think he's doing a great job. Never thought I would have said that like after a couple weeks ago, but
I mean, I'm really pleased. Like you're right. I was always a little reluctant. Like when Nick Angstad, who's, you know, he's a positive fan more or less, kind of called for the firing kid. I remember being a little surprised because like, I figured I was going to be the first dumbass to put my name out there like that.
Oh, I wanted him gone too. Yeah. Yeah.
And I still sort of wonder kind of what the end game is, but right now, if you're coaching when it matters, you deserve the credit. And he is. He is. Like, he's a little more active in all elements of things. I also am just really pleased that he's utilizing the Maverick size. Going small has been his crutch for the past up until they got these new guys. And I think there's a time and a place for it. But these Mavericks playing big physical ball is what is closing games for them in an effective manner.
I mean, it's obvious. I mean, like, I know the three-point shots are falling, but I mean, I don't want to get in this conversation, but how much bigger do they look like without Josh out there, man? It's just crazy.
No, it matters. Like, I don't think Josh Green has a place in this rotation, but I don't really want to worry about it until it becomes a challenge, because I think with the minutes distribution among those kind of 2 and 3 guards, if you're playing every guy like 15-ish minutes, you're going to use him in some way, shape, or form, because there's games when he's going to have it and there's games when he doesn't, and that's fine. You know, it's too long of a season, too long of a postseason, you know what I mean?
No, definitely. And I'm like Maverick Twitter. I wanted to kill Timmy and send him off the face of the earth, but you kind of see it. Like, I mean, his offense when he's hitting, and I mean, I think this is the 2 best games he's played as a Maverick, because I know we had all the scoring outbursts, but like pure basketball, he looks like a real basketball player, not a chuck. But
that's right.
Last thing before I get out of here, this might be another crazy statement. Is it weird to want to play the Clippers in the first round instead of playing Minnesota?
No.
I'm not scared of them at all. I'm not scared of them at all.
It's you know, this is you look like a young man, but there's a ridiculous scene in the original Home Alone where Macaulay Culkin runs outside and like screams to no one, "I'm not afraid anymore." And that's what I feel like with the Clippers. So if you want to punch them in the mouth, I completely get it.
I mean, this size is just crazy. I mean, I don't want to – I mean, everybody's saying it, but this team is really scary. And I mean, one last thing real quick. Luka getting rest in the playoffs. I mean, remember this Clipper series and even the Western Conference Finals? I mean, I know Golden State was just better than us, but remember, we were in those games. I think it was like an even net rating when Luka was on the court. And as soon as you took him off, like, look, tonight you're going to give – Luka could get 6 to 8 minutes of rest in a playoff game.
Yeah.
Like – it's scary, but have a good night, Kurt. I'm glad your dad's doing good. I saw the tweet.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. He just is. He's home now. He's resting, and he doesn't understand why he can't do stuff. And we're like, dude, you had heart surgery. Stop being an idiot.
My dad had a stroke a couple of years ago, so I know how. Enjoy it while you can, man. Enjoy everything. Have a good night, Kurt.
Thanks. Talk soon. Of course. Okay. Now I think we got one more new face down there. It is Mr. Green. We're going to bring Mr. Green up. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm well, Kirk. How's yourself, man?
I am great. Man, we have one from Brazil. Where are you calling in from today?
From Perth, Western Australia.
Fantastic. I love technology. So what did you get to watch this game today?
Yeah, mate. It's 1:42 in the afternoon.
Well, still, but it's a Tuesday. So it's, some watching a game for some folks in the middle of the afternoon would be a pain in the ass.
Hey, come on, mate. Like, only suckers are working, Kirk. You should know that. there is times to, watch the Mavericks during the day. But, mate, glad we had a win. But I'll tell you one thing that really amazes me about watching this team now. The athleticism, the speed. Scary.
It's great.
Been waiting how long? How many years have we been waiting for some,
my whole life.
Players?
My whole life.
Man. It's they can put some scary lineups in there. And look, I know a few people are wondering where Josh fits in when he comes back, man, but who cares?
Worry about it when it happens. I think there's a place for him, but who cares right now?
Exactly, mate. It's just so fun to watch these guys be able to attack it. But, man, God bless having Kyrie Irving on your team, man. He is an absolute killer, eh? Unbelievable. Yep. He just cuts through the lane. And, man, they're scary. 9 out of the last 10, and they've been playing well. Just wish Luka maybe suited up for that OKC game.
Yeah.
But, mate, how do you think, how do you think we're situated now? Because the race for those guaranteed playoff spots is heating up, and looks like we might sneak up a couple of pegs higher if we're lucky.
That they have they control their own destiny, and so that is enough for me. I'm hopeful for the 6th seed. I'll be pleased missing the play-in. Quite candidly, I know everybody else is probably going to want more, but my goal from the beginning of the season, what I wrote, I've checked this, was avoiding the play-in. Everything after that is a bonus.
I think most Mav fans picked the Mavs to finish, between the 3rd and the 5th seed?
Sure. I mean, and that's because we're all very happy. But, I mean, the Western Conference this year is I saw this the other day. The Lakers, and this is before they won, I want to say they were they're 30. The Lakers are. I'm going to go check the standings right now. The Los Angeles Lakers are sitting at 9th in the West at 40-32. And that would have been good enough for basically 4th in the West last season. That's how much more competitive the top half of the West is. So it's like, you just gotta take what's there. And so if they were to manage to get to 5 or somehow get to 4, then I think Luka is really, truly an MVP at that point. But that's a byproduct of them playing well at the right time and squeezing through. I mean, I would rather I'm not going to bank on anything, but that they can control where they end up is pretty exciting.
And what do you think our most challenging game is moving into this last segment of the season? Because we still have some, we still got 2 against Golden State, but
So
I think we're just so much bigger than everyone else now, Kirk.
We are the Rockets. Athletic. This is a ridiculous thing for most people. The Rockets sort of freak me out because they are playing really athletic basketball. And so with how they've been able to put up points, I think they're kind of a trap game for the Mavericks. I mean, I definitely think the Mavericks are better, but the fact that they have to play them twice in basically 8 days, closing the Rockets out would be pretty important to me. That's like a big trap game situation for me.
I don't worry too much about the Rockets, man. I mean, when you watch their games, it's Fred VanVleet that seems to be doing a lot of the damage. And just put Kyrie against Fred VanVleet, and who's got the most numbers at the end of the game? I'm not too worried about the Rockets. Too worried about Golden State for the next 2 games. Man, I think we're going to have a strong, solid finish and just get out of the way, because I think they're getting the confidence now, man.
Yes, they look like it.
You can see it in them. And I was waiting for another 10-0 run to happen in today's game. Just didn't happen. Didn't happen.
It was great. It was absolutely great. Well, thank you for hanging out and joining the show once again.
Thanks, Kirk. Appreciate it, mate. We'll talk soon.
All right. Talk soon. Okay, coming up next, we have our very loyal band of listeners. I'm going to go to I told Henry he could go next, but Sam's been waiting forever. So I'm going to go Sam, and then I'm basically going to go in order there for those of you who are in the waiting room. Sam, thanks for waiting. What's up, man?
What's going on? Can you hear me, Kurt?
I can. I really appreciate you waiting this long. This is the most new callers we've had in a long time, so I just want to give people a chance to talk. It encourages them to come back. So yeah, it's grateful awesome. For you waiting. So what's going on?
Oh, no, great win. I want to say this. So I think the Denver game was obviously the best win, but I think this is the best statement win, if that makes sense.
It does.
As far as, I mean, everybody knew this is the biggest game of the year so far, and just the way they came out and just pretty much from like the middle of the first quarter on just dominated. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. I was thinking it was going to be a nail biter to the end, but if you could play like that, everybody's been saying it, Luka and Kyrie, when you got those two going, if everybody else just steps up, sky's the limit. Julio said it like in the beginning. Everyone wants to play the Clippers? Listen, bro, I have PTSD. Like, I don't want to play. Like, because even last year, when they played the Suns, if Kawhi doesn't get hurt, I think they beat the Suns, personally.
Yes. I can see it.
Hey, y'all begging for it. Like, I know we'll be better, but if you got Kyrie playing like he's playing, like I said, and Luka, obviously, he's playing like he's playing, sky's the limit, and I think we got a chance to beat anybody. I don't want to play Denver, but I think we could beat Denver.
I think it'd at least be fun. I mean, my standards after missing the playoffs last year are making the playoffs this year, you know?
Yeah.
Everything after that feels like a bonus.
Right. I mean, the goal is to make the playoffs, but now with the trades and everybody's playing the way they're playing, we actually got size. So if you could just get in, I mean, I think personally, I think we could beat OKC. I won't say handily, but I think we could beat them pretty good. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, they'll be tough because of their defense, but I think we could beat them. Denver, obviously, they're the defending champions.
You know, Minnesota series would be just so aggressively whiny between the Mavericks. We'd have Rudy Gobert accusing, you know, anyone he could think of in between him and Luka complaining about the refs. It would just be atrocious.
Yeah,
but Ant Edwards, like, I love Ant's shit talking. Him and Luka for 6 or 7 games would be amazing.
Oh yeah, it would definitely be entertaining. But I think the Mavericks, you know.
Oh, I certainly think they win. That's not a question. Yeah,
because at this point, I mean, we've seen Luka in the playoffs now what 3-4 times, and he hasn't had a bad postseason yet. So, I mean, until that happens, you just got to go in there saying, okay, we know the best player on the floor. It's just if everybody else just steps up. So, yeah, like I said, great win. Now, obviously, everything could be undone on Friday, and then this might not mean anything.
But, That's right.
We'll take it right now. So
that's exactly right. All right, man. Talk soon. Thanks so much.
Have a good night.
Okay, coming up next is my man Henry. Henry, thanks for waiting so long. What's going on?
It's all good, my guy. I actually expected this, actually.
It's nice. People are excited.
What was the stat? When you hold Sacramento under 46 points in the paint, they're 4-15.
That's fine.
And I have to go back and take a look at what they were, but I know we hold Sabonis down. I think he was 11 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting, 3-4 from PJ, though? Shout out to PJ for finding his shot.
Did you see the rebounds for PJ?
You know what I mean?
13 rebounds. Good. It's taken me almost an hour and 20 minutes to mention his rebounding. It was insane.
He hit it. Timmy hit it. I mean, I still want Timmy shipped to Bangladesh, but for tonight he was hitting, so I'm okay with that.
He gets a day pass. That's it.
It's day by day. No 10-day contract. It's 24-hour contract. That's it.
Did you see the best Kyrie Irving stat of my life? It's my favorite one of the season.
No, I was still at work with the client. I probably missed it. What's up?
Kyrie got a dunk. It is his fifth dunk of the season, which is where did I do this? I was so excited. It is the most dunks he's ever had in an NBA season.
Yep.
Ever.
Yep.
He's what, 31? Like yeah.
Yeah. He's just getting healthy. He's just getting healthy again. I told Mavericks fans to relax. This isn't even playoff Kyrie. Like, relax,
fam. I don't know. These last several games feel like he's at an octane. You know, he was kind of, if you missed the first half, he was very frustrated with his own misses, which doesn't normally happen. And so it was really like the third quarter, he was just he was a death squad. I mean, he just put an end to the entire Kings game. It was great.
Yeah. He's a walking flamethrower. Like literally at any moment. I'm not even worried about it. He just came out and just said, yeah, you guys can't fuck with us. So night, rock you to sleep. Like, he can literally do that at any moment. So it's I'm not too worried about it. As long as we don't match up with Denver before the Western Conference Finals, I think I'm all right with pretty much anybody. Not a worry about the Clippers. I'm not worried about – damn sure not worried about Phoenix. And, again, I'm sure we've hit on this before, but have you seen Phoenix's next 10 games?
Brutal, isn't it? Or am I right?
I think everyone has over a 60% win rate. Everyone's top five. Like, and they just lost to the Wimbyless Spurs. I am not surprised if we see Sac at 7, maybe the Lakers 8, and then 9 and 10 is probably Golden State and Phoenix.
No Lakers for you, even though they did just they pulled an all out crime tonight, beating the Bucks. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't think very highly of them. And you know, Dame was choking. Giannis traveled. They didn't call it. Those two are the most heavily free throw differential teams in the league. So
yeah,
I knew that game was actually going to be awesome. But as long as we can avoid Denver until the Western Conference, I think we do fine. Sacramento is going to be the same result on Friday. They don't have a big outside of Sabonis. So as long as you limit their points in the paint and the transition, they're pretty much like Memphis that year. They were the 2 seed.
Sure.
I'm not too worried about it. So, and just as a bonus here, I really hope Golden State misses the playoffs because their fan base is fucking insufferable. Anytime you beat them and say you guys are in a 10 seed, they just say 4 rings. So it's actually, I hope that they lose just because you can't argue with them, because even if you make sense, show logic, they just say 4 rings. And that's all they can see.
Such a bizarre. No, I wouldn't do that. I and we still get to beat them 2 more times. So I'm looking forward to that. Oh my
God, we're gonna destroy them.
It's good stuff, man. Well, thank you so much for waiting. You got anything else tonight?
Is there any bracket setup where we don't match up with Denver in the second round?
I haven't checked it close enough because if I start standings watching, I really fall into a pit.
It's all good. You know? It's all good. Yeah. Bold prediction here. I'm gonna go with the fourth. Fifth is pretty. It's too easy. I think we end the season 4th seed.
All right. Appreciate you joining. Love the enthusiasm. Tucks in. All right, I almost kicked myself off my own show. That shows you how tired I am tonight. NBA Scouts on Twitter asks a question. Kirk, I have a question since you're a journalist. I am not a journalist, thank God. Why isn't Kyrie showing up on the NBA stats leaderboard? My best guess to this question is it's a games played element, and he had, even though he's played a ton in a row, that's got to be the main reason why he hasn't shown up on the thing. All right, so we're going to go Micah, Krishna, Brian, and Leo. Micah, what's up, man? Micah, unmute yourself.
What's going on, Kirk?
Oh, we're just here.
Yeah, this was fun. So first of all, so let me start with this.
Yeah, and your audio is choppy.
Oh, is this any better?
Kind of sounds like a headset related issue. I don't know why. Try it again.
What about now?
That's much better. Thank you.
Okay. But yeah, just shout out to what Jason was saying. And to me, I don't think it's like a conspiracy. I just think most people in media don't watch basketball.
Oh, sure. No, they would look at box scores. That's that. Yeah. And then
they look at box scores and they watch like 3-minute highlights. So, like, you can tell between different analysts who are actually watching games. Like, if they tell you something, like, as soon as they say that, now shout out to him, he had a great game tonight. But when they're saying that what the Mavericks strategy should do is figure out how to get Timmy involved.
Oh, shout out to Michael Wilbon, one of the worst takes of the millennium.
They're not watching basketball. Like, if you listen to Tim Legler, just you can tell that he's watching the games. Like, and then several people I do playbacks with, like,
yeah,
they can tell you everything about the team, what issues are here, what they see. But you listen to a lot of media people, and like, you're not watching games.
Sure.
So it's not a conspiracy. It's just they don't watch basketball. It's like, they report about something that I don't know if they even like.
I can feel that.
But yeah, this was fun. We've been so much better defensively.
Absolutely.
Because when you think about the, of course they stink on defense, right? But when you think about the firepower of Sacramento,
yeah,
to hold them under 100 points,
right?
And then not too long ago to hold Denver to 105, it's like that's like defensive performances against top high octane offenses. So it's just we're finding other ways to win. That's the exciting thing about this team. So I like their chances with anyone. Yeah, I would love to see the Clippers again, because please let me see the team that with 10 games left in the season, their second and third best player are saying we don't have an identity, and then their head coach following that up with, oh, we have an identity where our identity is we're soft.
Love
that. Yeah, let me play that team, please.
That's right, man. That's right. Man, I got to be honest, I'm fading like a rock. Do you mind if I head on to the next guests?
Yeah, man. I got to get some sleep, too.
Sure, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, have a good night, Kurt.
All right, later. All right, coming up next is my man Krishna. Krishna, what's up, dude? Thanks for waiting. You're the best.
Kirk, how are you?
I am all of a sudden very tired, but but we're gonna keep pushing.
That's good. Man, what a weird game. I had emotions even before, because I was like, okay, Luka's probably not going to play. The whole game time decision stuff was a little scary, and I almost was like, if Luka's not playing, I think it's probably a loss.
Sure,
played. And the fact that he was so good in that first half, which was shocking. Like, you could see him kind of limping up, and like, I don't know, sometimes he hams it up a little, but
yes,
found it very funny. And then, man, that third quarter, the funny thing is, I feel so bad. I missed like 3 minutes of the third quarter, and then I came back and I was like, how did the lead just grow to this much? And
that's right.
It's just awesome, Kirk. And it's funny, you know, I don't think I said it, but it feels weird that this team has switched where, you know, you've talked about it with Josh so much that this team's calling card was, you know, you have to make the three pointers. Otherwise, nothing else goes. Like, the team doesn't defend. The team doesn't do anything else that's important to actually winning basketball games. And in a weird way, the team's calling card is playing defense and scoring in the paint. Like, I think Nick Angstad was talking about it a few times. The Kings, when they score less than 45 points in the paint, they've never won a game this season. They scored 38 tonight. Now, part of it is probably they were, you know, in garbage time.
Right. But
Mavs have been seriously dominant in the paint in a way that I don't think we've ever seen. Like, really, we've not seen this with, at least the Luka era, we've never seen. I think maybe you can go back to the Dirk days, especially because of spacing and how the game was played. But, and I think it's a formula that's working in the sense that, you know, I get it. The three-point shot is important, and it's not me saying that teams should just move away from the three-pointer or that you have to play one or the other, but you have to be a really balanced team, and I think that's what this team is becoming. And as guys become more consistent with their shot, I think that helps. And really, this is like a game that they could have had all like this entire second half of the All-Star break.
Sure. Where
if you just had a little bit better shooting luck in some of these instances, you probably have a few more blowout wins. And this was just, for some odd reason, this was the game where it happened. But it, I don't know, it feels good. Like, there was not really much you could look at this game and say, oh, they were horrible. Like, early in the game, they were kind of getting killed on the rebounds. But I think specifically Lively made such a great adjustment. He just was more physical in that third quarter. And you can see it clearly bothered Sabonis. Like, more than Gafford, Lively clearly bothered Sabonis in that third quarter, and it kind of just took him out. Obviously, the third quarter is what took the Kings out of the rest of the game, but it just took them out the whole time. And in a weird way, you know, obviously Josh was mentioning it in your regular show, but this Mavs team is now large, and it plays a physical brand of basketball, which is not something I would have said. And the thing that makes me, because the worry I had with this team, honestly, with this more transition and high pace style, was I look back at those Grizzly teams from the past two seasons, and they played that very high-paced transition style. But I think the difference with this team is when you have Kyrie and Luka being your primary creators, you can play half-court ball like better than most teams could even dream of. And so, I don't know, there's just a lot of confidence going with this team, and it's awesome. And hopefully it continues, and hopefully the fans keep enjoying. And I don't know, the season looks like it could be a really great one. And the crazy thing is, even next season looks like there could be great things.
Look at you looking ahead and being all excited. One of my group chats, everyone's like, I wonder who we can get in the offseason. I'm like, we're going to go to the NBA Finals. Everyone shut up.
Well, I find it interesting, you know, the legends like are actually going for a playoff spot, which I don't think they ever have in my lifetime.
Yeah, they're always a circus show.
Yeah, and it's so weird that these past 2 years they've been taking much more seriously. And like with the Ignite shutting down, it kind of reminds me of like team continuity is important, but team construction is so complicated, and we like to think it's just putting talent together. But you can see with the Legends roster, and this roster to some extent too, you need guys who, one, have experience, but you also need guys who just have energy. Sure. And the Legends roster, I think, has kind of done that. Like, Omax is, I think he's gotten a lot better there. And yeah, I think part of that is the Legends are, it's not just like a team, right? It's not like he's just playing minutes, but he's playing on a functional team where you have guys who have experience and who can do things that he's not able to do. And it lets him grow, but it also gives him like a certain baseline. And that's something I don't think we ever would have saw from this Mavericks team. Forget about drafting players, just getting on that team. And so there's just a level of baseline competence that I haven't seen from this organization in years. Like, it feels like this team drafted Dirk and it drafted Luka, and somehow nothing else was competent about this organization. And it's like, oh, this is what happens when your organization does the bare minimum to be good. Right,
just like trying. No, for sure.
It's great. All right,
hey, man. Well, thank you so much for hanging out. Let's talk. We'll talk soon. All right.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go next to Brian. Brian, what's up, dude? Thanks for waiting for so long. My normal show starting correspondent, I'm bringing it up like an hour into the show. What's going on?
Man, I'm just, you know, just finished watching some basketball, having a good time. We beat up on that Lithuanian thug, you know. It's a real good time. Smoked him in the paint because he was up to his usual thuggery in the paint. I saw it. We saw it. He was throwing elbows. He was swinging them around, doing what he usually does. Didn't matter. Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, P.J. Washington had 13 rebounds. They went in there. They were doing the job. Luka was holding them off, you know, from getting good post position when he would get switched on to him. It was a fun time. We were just too big for him. They couldn't handle us.
Loved it. Loved it. Don't think I've ever heard of Sabonis referred to in such a hilarious fashion.
Oh, I got more on him.
So let's save it for Friday's game. Let's see what he does then, right?
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm just, I've got to give Jason Kidd credit.
Yep.
The shot caller therapy with Tim has borne fruit. He hit shots tonight, which helped. But more than that, even as he was making shots, he was avoiding taking bad ones for the most part. Like he said, he's still going to take a few bad looks here and there, make a dumb decision in transition. But
right,
there were plenty of times I saw him get ready to load up. LT's in the house, type three, where he was getting ready to pull up from 30, and we didn't need that. Or he was getting ready to pull with 18 left on the shot clock, and we didn't need that. And he kept himself in check and held it, moved it, got it back later, you know. And I think that, wouldn't you know it, holding him accountable for the way he was playing on the court and cutting his minutes helped him round his shot selection and form a bit in a way that's a bit more palatable to what the team needed.
Right? Sure, sure.
And so doing that, where he was cleaning up his shot selection even in the games where he wasn't making shots, leads you to a game where he can be really efficient in like 21, 22 minutes, right? And just hit four threes, do the job, move the ball, got six assists purely off just like not trying to hold the ball any longer than he needed to.
Yes.
And it was really fun to watch, man. Dante Exum and Derrick Jones Jr. were flying around doing the best they could on Fox. He was unstoppable in the first half, but in the second, it was too much for him. We just had too many bodies kind of to throw at him. And once we fixed what we were doing as far as that drop that we were playing, that was letting him get all those little midi floaters and gloves that he was.
Right.
Because he loves those shots and he was burning us with them early on. But once we got a handle on that, and he couldn't get all the way to the paint, because once he did that, Lively was in there. And
Lively. Like, I at the first part of the game, I thought Lively was challenging shots a little too recklessly, but him just like that must have clearly been part of the game plan where he was just at the peak of all of those floaters. And the Mavericks sort of gambled that he wouldn't make them all game, and he didn't.
Dude, and then in the second half, I'm not sure Derek Lively has played a better defensive game.
Agree.
Maybe the few minutes he played in that Spurs game when he came back from the nose injury. He had Sabonis in Alcatraz. I'm talking multiple times, Sabonis posted him up, swung those elbows, trying to get a chicken wing off, and he might move Derek, but he wasn't going far. The hand stayed up. He didn't bite on any of those stupid pump fakes, and he pinned him right under the rim, and he had nowhere to go with the ball. And he did it like three times in a row when we went on that big run in the third quarter. Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh, great stuff, man. It really was. It really was.
Yeah, I'm excited about this team. I'm happy that we put a win like that on that team.
Yeah, they're really good.
Situation on national TV.
Yeah.
Right. Like we have our qualms and our reservations about the Kings as, you know, a program, but they're a talented team.
Yeah.
Really well coached. And that we could do that to them in this situation where we both needed the game was really encouraging for me. I'm excited to see, you know, they can look like on Friday.
I love it. I love it. All right, man. Thanks for hanging out late.
Of course, dude. Thanks for having me.
All right. Talk soon. All right. Coming up next is Leo. Leo, what's going on, dude?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. You sound great. What do you got for us?
All right. Two quick hitters. One, as far as offseason acquisitions go, do you think so far in this year anyone's better than D. Jones?
Is anybody doing what now?
Has anyone been like a better acquisition for another team for like a price point than D. Jones has been?
He's been too. Like him and Dante Exum are got to be kind of rivals there.
Do you think we'll be able to sign him again come the offseason?
Yes, but you know, I don't know how it'll work, but I'm looking forward to them trying.
Okay, and then just to look ahead a little bit up to the games that the Mavs have right now. The Kings again, Houston, Golden State, Atlanta, Golden State, and Houston at 3:00. And then if we look forward, we have the Clippers who are going to be playing Orlando, Sacramento, Denver, Utah, Cleveland, and then New Orleans who are going to be playing Milwaukee, Boston, Phoenix, Orlando, San Antonio, and Phoenix. So we're going to be Orlando Magic fans for here on out, Mavs fans. We need to hope for that fourth seed going forward.
Sure, man.
Thank you for having me up.
Of course, Leo. Talk soon. All right, guys, I hear my baby crying, which is not great, but we're going to go to Ahmed and then Ryan to close this out. Ahmed, you there? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
I can. Thanks for coming on. What's going on?
Thank you. I've just been checking out the stat leaderboard for a while now, and I just noticed that Kyrie Irving is nowhere to be found. I don't know why. I mean, on all the websites, and I checked, there is some players who have less games than him. I figured maybe it's because he hasn't played enough games. But he has 25 points a game. I was just wondering, since it doesn't make any sense, but I don't know why.
My guess would have been the playing thing. And so I don't actually have a great answer for you in this regard because I don't. Because it's like on the, you know, when you see a lot of the stats in game, that's probably the one that stands out. Like, you know, the combined Luka Kyrie points sort of is something, but that's something I've not noticed. Let's go to the points. I'm on NBA.com right now.
Let me see here. Kyrie, he's not on the thing.
Yeah, because
that's weird.
You have Tyrese Halliburton, who has definitely played less games than
less games. Yeah, because
so
that's a big.
That's one thing you have. You have, for example, I've seen. I mean, like 2 days, 3 days ago, I've seen some players with 49 games or so. I have Terry Rozier 55. I don't know why.
So here's what I want you to do. Do you follow me on Twitter by chance?
Yes.
Shoot me a DM after this is over, and I will ask around tomorrow because that's a weird one. That is. Yeah. I see. Like, I'm on this thing. You're right. He's not showing up.
Yeah, he should be. And it's not like he's averaging something low. He should be 10th right now. I think. Yeah, he averages. Not 10th. I think he should be. He averages more than Damian Lillard, so he should be 15th. He averages more than Anthony Davis. That's like something good to see for your player. So I would just. It just it's hits so me odd. Weird. I've been checking for the last 3 weeks, and every time I'm like, okay, it's a game thing. But now I'm like, nah, that doesn't make any sense. And
that is so strange. That's an interesting thing. Well, thanks for pointing out. I'll look into it.
Thank you. And yeah, I was just going to reiterate the point of the previous person. I think we have a really good shot at the fourth place. I mean, looking at the schedules of Clippers and New Orleans without BI, I feel like they can easily lose 4 to 5 games. Same thing for Clipper, the way they've been playing, and also the competition. And all the games they have are against teams who can't lose and not going to be resting players because they're still fighting for playoff position, position. And for Dallas, other than Golden State and Atlanta, Houston, I don't really see any. Even the last game against OKC, they're probably going to be resting a lot of players because they by that time they probably have locked in the first or second seed.
Right.
So hopefully we make it. And yeah, I don't want to hear any talk about off season because we're going to win the chip.
That's right, man. I love the attitude.
Good night. Take care. Like your contact. Thank you.
Thanks for coming up. Hopefully you'll come back soon. All right, Ryan, you're gonna be my last guy, and then I got to go take care of the screaming 5-month-old I can hear. What's going on?
Hey, Kurt. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can.
Awesome. Yeah. So I know it's pretty late. I'll try and keep it short.
That's okay.
Yeah. The reason I'm on here so late is because I was actually at the game and I was.
Woo!
Yeah. So I live in the Bay Area. I'd been keeping an eye on like the standings and I was wondering, you know, maybe if tickets are all right, I'll make the drive up to Sacramento.
Great call. And,
oh, am I glad I picked this Tuesday game, Kirk? What an atmosphere. When I tell you that it felt like the playoffs, I've only ever been to one playoffs game. I was in eighth grade in like 2015.
I've never been. That's amazing.
It was really like it was that Rockets series. I think that was 2015. And it was the game that JJ Barea kind of went crazy, if you remember. Anyways, it was like the one win we had. We lost 4-1. But that was like a key memory for me. And I mean, it was loud. You know, the Kings don't get a lot of national TV games when the PA guy said it like 4 times before the game, like this is a national TV game, get your towels out, whatever.
That's funny.
But the crowd was loud. They were ready. They said something about how, like, let's show these Mavericks what a loud arena looks like, which I thought was pretty funny. But look, so this was, a playoff atmosphere and it got shut down really pretty quick.
Love it.
This was my first time in an away arena watching the Mavs. I've only ever watched them at the AAC. And, like, the people next to me were just speechless at just, like, the shot-making that was on display. And obviously this is not a game-to-game thing, but it just speaks to when you have two killers on your team, and we say it over and over again, what a luxury. Like, the way they can just deafen or they can just shut down like a deafening crowd within the span of a couple shots. The momentum, you could just feel it shift so obviously. they're just nails. Like they're screaming for their there's one they would do the crumble cookies or something promotion where if they miss both free throws.
Right.
So they're screaming and they're like, oh, Luka sucks, whatever. And you can just see it in his eyes that he's nails. He's nails the entire
time. He loves
time.
That
it's
stuff.
Just such a, as a Mavs fan, it's such a like smug feeling to be sitting there. And at some point you don't want a front run. So I just shut my mouth. Everybody tough one day up or something like that. But oh my God, like you can see it in their eyes when they're at the free throw line with Kyrie and Luka, like these guys are killers. We just got to get them to the games that really matter and let them show us what they can do. Like, oh my God, how exciting. So a couple quick takeaways then. Before the game, I sat there for like an hour and a half watching warmups kind of snuck down. That was pretty cool. Nico talks to everybody, but more importantly, PJ, like, no one told him that apparently NBA players don't miss in warmups because he misses every shot in warmups.
He really looks like he has a vision problem when he's shooting. Like, it's like, and that's what made his make so incredible, because when he misses, it's like, oh no.
Yeah, his misses look different than everyone mm-hmm. else's misses too. Like, he has a lot of those in and outs, but often he'll just like, they'll take high bounces off the back rim and not like the good back rim miss. Regardless, it's really funny to watch when you're watching like a slumping Maxi who's half injured, figuring out if he's going to play, hitting 75% of his, you know, warm-up jumpers, and PJ is just like, he's got a real fluid motion. Anyways, we've talked about it a ton, but we went into the game and I was talking to some Kings fan I met next to me. I'm like, oh, don't worry, he can't shoot. Like, they're going to leave him open. And lo and behold, like, I was just like about out of my chair. Like, no, he doesn't do this. I swear.
Not 25%.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really something. Another thing, I know we've talked a lot today. I was kind of listening on my drive down about Tim having a good game. I'll say in person, it really didn't feel like a different Tim. It just felt like Tim was hitting some more threes than he usually would. But I feel like if he hit two fewer, then like we wouldn't really maybe be talking. Maybe this is just me not being as informed, but he still took some ridiculous shots to the point where even the people next to me were like, what was that? People who don't watch the Mavericks. It's befuddling. Nick Angstad from Locked On talks about it a lot, about how Jason Kidd leaves him in on the defense for offense possessions, and he just looks completely lost on all of those. He did it again today. It was like, I think, to end the first quarter. So, you know, some of that stuff, whatever, we could talk about it forever. But I just, maybe, you know, to let you get to your baby and Captain Knight, I think, you know, watching Luka is such a privilege, and we say it enough, and I am up in arms just like everybody else when it comes to him not getting love from the national media about MVP, and when it comes to all the nonsense that we kind of have to deal with as Mavs fans sometimes.
Yep.
But other teams don't get to do this.
That's
right. Kings fans there were defeated when they saw Luka especially, but even Kyrie, just two killers where you know that they're inevitable, like Thanos inevitable.
I love it.
So it was just a ton of fun. I'm so excited for the playoffs. I've been listening forever, by the way, and this is my first time on. So,
well, thank you for joining.
I figured today would be the day. Yeah, thanks
That's
so
a
much.
Great time.
Yeah. All right. All good right. night, Kirk.
Good night, Ryan. Okay, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for hanging out. Remember, if you're, you know, go ahead and like the stream, leave a comment on the YouTube. If you're listening on audio, go ahead and leave a review, that sort of thing. 5 stars, really appreciate it. Josh and I will be back on Friday. Everyone, have a great rest of your week, and go Mavs.